Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring.
Keep pouring, my friend.
Baby, baby, please.
Whenever I do these talking cavalons, that there's always a UFC pay-per-view card on that Saturday. I usually record, me and Cody usually record on Sundays, but I usually record these talking cavalons maybe sometime during the week just to get it over with or whatever it may be. I need to stop doing that because I forget that I talk about UFC on this show. And this is probably the third talking cavalon I've done where I've had to go back and re-record a new opening just to include the results of the show. Now, I was thinking, I don't really need to talk about it, but I kind of have to talk about it because this was one of the, I don't want to say one of the best, but it was a pretty goddamn good show. I was UFC 261. Wow. And I know people probably saying, oh, you're just saying that because the fans are back. And I actually hated the fucking fans. Because I was thinking in my head, can we go back to empty arenas? This is the one sport where I was like, man, I think it's just because the fans were all fucking casuals and they were just chanting bullshit. I mean, as soon as I saw them or hear them booing Wei Li Zhang, I was just like, all right, this crowd clearly doesn't know talent. And then they were, because Jake Paul was there, and Tom Brady was there too, and which is funny because you would think Jake Paul was the biggest fucking star in there the way this, they don't even know what they just did. They just made him a bigger star by yelling, fuck Jake Paul, and it's just like, y'all doing exactly what he wants. Y'all just making him bigger than what he already is, but I digress, nonetheless. This was in Florida, of all places, and you know Florida, they don't give a fuck, so the mask protocol was optional. And if you leave Florida with the optional choice, they are going to do make the worst decision possible because it is Florida, for crying out loud. There was 15,000 people in attendance, according to what the record says. And every time they showed the crowd and huge gaps, which I kind of took screenshots of some, there is not a single soul wearing fucking masks in this place. It was actually a goddamn nightmare, I gotta say. I was like, holy shit. Oh, man. But they wanted to be there for the chant they boy Masvidal. That's why I just made it so much sweeter. See, I just fucking love, even though I know Usman is not from California or anything like that, but I just love sucking the soul out of fucking Florida. I don't know what it is about them, but I just kind of don't like them. I know Lakers rivalry is with Boston and we don't like Clippers and stuff like that. But for me, it's just something oh so satisfying with LA beats the shit out of Florida. As I told my friend in Miami, hey, at least you got the Buccaneers. They brought you a championship because that's the only fucking championship you'll ever see come out of that piece of shit state. I really just despise Florida. So seeing the seeing them chant all this shit from Masvidal all fucking week, thinking Masvidal actually had a fucking chance. I mean, that's just how you know they don't watch UFC. They just chant for their hometown boy or whatever. And to see him just get dropped. I mean, he didn't just get dropped. He got his soul taken from it. People, if you don't know who Masvidal is, he's the one that made fun of Ben Askren when he knocked him out with the flying knee. That's all Masvidal's been, by the way. He had a great knockout in one fight. What was that, like two? Shit, that might have been 3 years ago, actually, now. Hell. Yeah, three years ago, maybe. Somewhere around there. And he's just been hype ever since. He's a journeyman, if you will. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Nate Diaz, which don't get me wrong, Masvidal is a tough mofo. But, I mean, Nate Diaz, I mean, I don't want no discredit Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is Nate Diaz, but let's face it, Nate Diaz is past his prime. I mean, he's in there because he just likes the sport. He could probably rack up a few wins, or whatever. But like Nate Diaz right now, he ain't on main event level right now. Right now, with all these guys in that division, get out of here. Usman would kill that dude. Diaz would get back up and be like, "I want some more," because Nate Diaz is a tough SOB. So, by the way, everybody, I'm your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB, and this is Talking Cavalon, as I said. And Talking Cavalon is a JB show where I'm here all by myself, no Cody, no anybody, and I'm just here by myself. I'm talking about what's going on in the world today, mainly right now UFC, and also I'll be talking a little bit about this sweet old Cavalon that I got right here. If you're looking at the title description of the show, it is called Podium. That is because today I am talking about Cavalon Podium. It's been a while since I've done one of these Talking Cavalons because we, you know, kind of took the whole month of, what was it, March, I think? Pandemic's fucked my days and months up, whatever, but we did the whole month of March talking about Daft Punk and the legacy. That turned out pretty well. We've been talking a lot of music lately on the show. Music that we like, by the way. Or like to make fun of, I guess. It's been a while getting my solo settings together and shit. So if you hear an echo, that's probably why, because I probably fucked something up. But this was a pain in the ass to say. It is so much easier to set up when it's two people. I don't know how that's fucking possible. I really don't. But I have this. Whatever. I'm not gonna let that piss me off right now, because I want to talk about this fight right now. I want to talk about Masvidal getting his ass dropped. Yeah, he was talking about, I guess he ran out of two-piece sodas and sodas and shit like that or whatever. I guess KFC was closed for the day, because when his face got hit so hard, I thought I was watching the real Mortal Kombat. I was like, I don't know why people want to watch that fake-ass movie right there. You need to watch this shit, because them fatalities were endlessly great. And by the way, this was a pay-per-view. All knockouts. None of them went to decision. Well, I don't know how to describe one of them, but one of them was kind of decision / knockout in a way, so... Or a fight stoppage. I don't know what you would call it. I mean, he did fell out, so I guess that is kind of a knockout in a way. So I missed the first fight between Anthony Smith and Jimmy Crute. I heard there was a leg injury in that. And I think I kind of saw clips of it where I think it was Jimmy Crute. Anthony Smith won by TKO round one at a five-minute mark. I think... Jimmy Crute had got his leg injured, which was crazy because I from what I was hearing, Jimmy Crute kind of won the first round, and he did two takedowns with one leg. I was like, shh. So it even sucks more that he couldn't continue, because I think it was a ref stoppage. The doctor had asked him to walk towards me, and the leg just gave out. He just couldn't do anymore, so they had to call that fight off. That was a done deal. This card was crazy. I mean, then we get to the next fight. This is where I walked in on, and I was... At first, you know, when they were showing the package, I was kind of like, eh. But then I was just like, oh, that's Uriah Hall. Let me give... You know, I like Uriah Hall. I was like, Uriah Hall. And then Chris Weidman, I was like, eh. He's been around for a while now, but I was like, eh. I'm not really into Weidman or anything like that. But Uriah Hall, I was like, I like him. So let's see where this goes. That shit was 17 seconds, was it? The first blow, Chris Weidman throws a leg sweep. Low leg kick. His fucking shin shattered. And he went into inflatable tube man guy. I mean, this has only happened like three times in the UFC. I didn't see the first one. I don't even know what the first one was now. The second one, funny enough, was Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva. This happened to Silva, and Silva's career has never been the same. And that was like horrifying to look at. But for some reason, this one, it felt like a gun went off, whatever. Like, you heard the kick. And Uriah Hall, I mean, it looked like that kick didn't even faze him. He stood there like a brick wall. But he had this look on his face like, I don't even know how to take this in. This was disgusting. He handled it like a professional, but he just sat on his knees and he just looked up into space. Like he damn near looked like he was traumatized. You're right. Chris Weidman, he's got other problems being traumatized. But his leg, I don't even think Chris Weidman knew that the shin blew out too. Like, that was the crazy, because he was still in fighting position, and then when he put pressure on the leg, the foot just turned sideways. Oh, it was so gross. And he fell down on it, and I swear, it looked like there was just no bone in the shin area. It was just like Elastigirl or something like that. Like, it was just stretchy. But you could see on the foot, though, it was still turned the opposite direction. I mean, it was disgusting. I was just like, I was eating a chicken sandwich and drinking some whiskey at the time. I was just sitting there going like, I'm not even, I think I just lost my appetite. It was pretty, pretty fun. And then they showed the shit like 5 times in slow motion too. I was just like, oh God, it looked worse. Because you could see the shin hitting impact and it just fucking caved. I honestly, I think they did right putting Valentina on as the next fight, because I was like, whoever the next fight is, I can't even concentrate right now. I can't get that off my mind right now. And all I kept thinking about, because I have a bag outside that I train with for my low kicks, I was just thinking like, damn, that's my favorite kick to thrust. Like, I never want to throw that kick ever fucking again. Like, I don't know. It was just, God damn, I've never just seen a bone just eviscerate like this. Oh, God. Oh. So Uriah Hall won that somehow. By, I guess they're calling it KO, TKO, so. 17 seconds, too, that was. Wow. Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade. I just want to put this out here. I predicted every fight of how it was going down, or who would win, at least. The main event was the only one I picked for a round it would go into. I didn't give a time or anything like that, and I got it all right. I got to start making heavier bets, apparently. I did a $300 bet, and I won that, so that's great. But I need to start putting, like, this is probably the second pay-per-view where I got them all right, so I need to start putting, like, $1,000 or something like that down. People actually thought Jessica probably had a chance, and I was like, are you fucking crazy? Jessica's a badass fighter, and, like, she is just the right build for this division. I mean, she is just, like, in a world without a Valentina as champion, she would probably be champion. Valentina made this girl look like a fucking rookie. In a way, you can say all these championship fights, there was a domination involved in some way or another. Valentina Shevchenko got 5 takedowns in the first round. This ended in round 2, 3 minutes and 19 seconds. After, what, 2 more takedowns and some ground and pound? I mean, she just brutalized this girl. And then I love it, too, because that's what makes Valentina so great, is she just gets herself up. But not only that, she busted her open, too. But not only that, she gets herself up, does her little interview and her dance, and then people cheering her. And just like, man, this girl's just a superstar, huh? And she's just super nice. She can beat your ass and be like, hey, but let me help you get up, whatever, you know? I mean, and nothing much to say there. And I know people are saying her division is just cleared out. There's nobody to fight her. And Amanda Nunes, she should fight her. I'm here to tell you this right now. Valentina Shevchenko will get her ass beat if she ever decides to get into that division. Now, I don't think that should happen, personally, because we're talking about a 20-pound difference, and I just think that rather Valentina gained 20 pounds or Amanda lost 20 pounds, I just think it'd be both ridiculous to lose that much weight to fight one another and then jump right back into their division. I mean, this whole fluctuated a weight class right there, it's just, not my stylistic choice, if you will. I know fighters do that all the time, but I really just don't want that to happen, because I think it just ruins your body and your training format for your own division. If that makes any sense to people. I just don't want to see it happen. The fight I do want to see happen, I just don't want to see the weight loss or the weight gain, per se. Plus, I think Amanda would shut her the fuck up, too, because Amanda is the best fighter in the damn UFC. Anyway... Weiling Zhang versus Thug Rose. Yeah, at first I was like, Weiling's probably going to win this. But then I was just like, yeah, you know what? Thug Rose was focused. I think what changed my mind on this was when they did the press conference. And I was just like, yeah, I think I'm going to change my pick here on who's winning this. And I went with Thug Rose, and I'm so glad I did, because Thug Rose won this, and It felt like another 17-second fight, I'm not going to lie. But apparently it went 1 minute and 18 seconds in round one, which I just probably need to go back and watch that fight again because I just find that very fucking hard to believe. Maybe if you do the introductions and shit, yes. But I thought this was about like 17 seconds again because Thug Rose threw this incredible... Was it her left? I can't even remember now. I think it might have been right. I don't remember now. But she threw this high kick, and it was just spot on perfect. It was like, if you were in a class and wanted to show how high kicks were done, this you just rewatch this over and over again. I mean, it was just spot on the nose perfect. And credit to Wei Li Zhang, first Chinese ever born champion in the UFC, was a great fighter in her own rights. She was getting up, but you know, the ground and pound came, and that was pretty much said and done. Now, she was a little upset the ref had stoppage a little bit early. I mean, I'd probably make like a 5% argument for that, like, because she did look like she could still go and something, but she was dazed though. So, I mean, for safety of the fighters, yeah, I would say the fight was over. I mean, like I said, you can probably make a 5% argument of it because I rewatched it, like, not the whole fight, but just that sec, that seed, just see right there when they were showing the replays. And I was like, yeah, she's dazed. I mean, but she's still trying to get up, as you can see. But I think it's over. You just call it what it is here. But yeah, that was a unique finish there. Dominating performance in some ass. And we got to the main event. This crowd was booing Usman. And I don't know why. He broke Kobe Covington's jaw, and Kobe is still... I love it. Kobe... That's what I love about Usman's fights. He'll knock you the fuck out, but yet somehow people still hate him, but they'll cheer their guys like Masvidal and Kobe, saying he ain't ready for Kobe or Masvidal. It's like, he already knocked them the fuck out. What more do you want? Not only with Kobe did he knock him out, he broke his fucking jaw. And yet Kobe fans still talking shit. I just don't... It's like the neighborhood bully, like, who gets his ass beat on the street, whatever, and he comes back the next day saying, that never happened. Let's get this going now. Come on. I maybe it's just the arrogance or whatever it may be, but I guess. And Masvidal and Usman had a fight last year on 6-day notice, so Masvidal had to lose 20 pounds. He looked pretty terrible in shape. But he lost, and clearly by decision, and he was just saying, give me a full camp and I'll show you differently. Well, Usman gave him a full camp. He looked fucking worse because he got dominated in the first round. Beautiful takedown by Usman. Masvidal came back in the last minute of the round, if you will, a few strikes here and there, whatever, but Usman won that round. Like, debate, it ain't even debatable. Like, he won that round. And then the second round, Masvidal, the people are just chanting his name. It's his hometown. Well, they were in Tampa, I think, or something like that. Where? Jacksonville. They were in Jacksonville. Miami, he's from Miami, whatever it may be. Miami people don't even watch UFC, probably. If they did, they would know what championships look like, which they really don't. Because the Lakers took your championship. And then our baseball team. You took your championship. When our Dodgers beat your Tampa Bay Rays. You guys are just some fucking losers. Oh, I love it, though. I love it. I'm sorry, Florida. Not my fault y'all suck. It's like, California is your kryptonite, Florida. Like, every time Florida to seek a championship, and it's a California team, they got to beat to get that championship, mainly an LA team, I want them to be sweating fucking bullets. Because they know that they just can't hang with a dynasty that they are not. Anyway, like I was saying now, they were chanting and cheering, go Masvidal, yeah, he's going to win, he's going to knock Usman out, whatever and shit. So Masvidal must have been just feeling himself. He was all cocky about it. This dude was laughing in this second round. He started putting his hand. He was getting cocky as shit. And I was like, look at this smug bastard. Like, dude, you've had 14 losses. You're at, what is he, 36 years old, 37 years old? You're getting close to retirement. And you sitting here laughing against an undefeated champ who's about to tie Anderson Silva's record for longest undefeated streak? Are you fucking kidding me? You need to be like Thug Rose. You take it serious as shit. I love Thug Rose's fuck. What I love about it is before the bell even rang, she was in her corner chanting to herself, I'm the best. I'm the best. And just had this stone cold look in her face. I was just like, yeah, I'm thinking in my head, let me put an extra $1,000 down real quick on Thug Rose here. I should have put fucking money down on the fight because the intensity in that girl's face, she was like, I refuse to walk out of here without a championship tonight. And Masvidal just had this cocky hometown spirit. He just didn't know what to do with it. And remember, people, by the way, Masvidal was talking a lot of shit before this fight. You got soft hands. You can't knock me out. Your package is up. No shit. I'm waiting on it for it to get delivered. I want to look at this beautiful alcohol I'm getting today. Anyway, and then in this second round, Usman just knocked him the fuck out. I mean, he hit him so fucking hard. You could see the sweat just flying off his fucking face. I mean, not only that, he hit him so hard that when he was coming down, because he was going flat down, Usman kind of fucking shoulder checked him too, and his head just spinned out of control. I mean, it really was like some Looney Tunes shit. Like, I was like, am I watching a... I mean, it was straight up some... It was the real Mortal Kombat. Like, I think I heard that narrator in the background saying, finish him. I love Usman on the mic, too, when he said, Florida, y'all was looking for some violence, huh? And they were just quiet. They were just fucking... I love seeing Florida disappointed. It makes my heart happy. I don't know why, but it just does. I'm sure the COVID cases will be out of fucking control over there. And Dana White, he's on his rampage right now, talking about, like, I'm not doing shows with a half crowd and all this shit. And he's talking about, I think they say in the next pay-per-view, they're looking for, like, 20,000. This one at 15,000. So just imagine that right there. Let me get a little sip of my drink here, because I am drinking right now. I'm talking Cavalon, baby. Well, talking Cavalon and drinking. I mean, or and talking shit. Mainly about Florida, but, you know. Oh, that's good. Solid. So, let's get into my drink here. Pour a little. Now, what I was drinking another bottle of Cavalon, but what I'm about to drink right now, pull this out of the box. Different looking box for Cavalon. Cheap ass looking box. They just came out with a new case for this bottle too, and which kind of pissed me off. I had got this bottle last summer. I never really looked at the back of it. Is that French? Because that damn sure ain't Taiwanese that's written on the back. Yeah, that is French. Okay, so there's French to, yeah, well, you know what? Imported by, so I don't think I knew that. Huh. I did not know that. Okay. So it is French because this is imported by, I don't know if I'm fucking this name up or not, whatever, La Maison du Whisky. People. La Maison du Whisky is fucking phenomenal. Like when they put their name on a bottle, it's fucking crazy. I have an Eagle Rare from them. I know I got some other stuff from them too, but I'm blanking on it. What I really want for them, which I showed my buddy Yoon recently, is a whiskey. A Blanton's that they do. They have another Eagle Rare out, too. I really want that. They have a Buffalo Trace. I'm blanking on something else that they have that I also have, too. But whenever I see their name, LMDW, that's usually the initials you'll see. I always just get that. that pick right there is just going to be beautiful. So I'm kind of shocked to see this. I didn't know that they had anything to do with this Cavalon here. Let's see what it said. Located in the northeast of Taiwan since 2006, Cavalon Distillery produces a single malt with an inimitable style. Rich and elegant. The subtropical climate of the island is undoubtedly the factor of excellence from the Cavalon task. It's singularity. Cavalon Podium is matured and selected brand new American oak casks and refill casks that deliver the elegant floral and fruity aromas. Interesting. So they just came out with a new design, new box label. I got this last summer, and literally like a month later, it came out right after that. I paid about a total of, I'm blanking, but I think like $130 with the shipping and stuff like that. Because the bottle regularly is like $90. I probably paid like $40 extra on shipping, which is fucking ridiculous now that I really think about it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just looking up something, people. I was looking up something that happened in Arizona because it's funny. I was just talking to my buddy Yoon about how shitty Arizona is. And I was reminding him of some of the fucking racist bullshit that they used to do. And he didn't remember, but now he does. And sure enough, like literally a news article came out how they were telling people to sit down and shut up when the people were trying to defend their voting rights and stuff like that. So this is my usually regular call out to fuck Arizona. I mean, my rivalry with Florida is more just a sports thing, but my rivalry with Arizona is I really just hate that fucking state. I have no respect for that state at all. So mainly just the people that run it and whatever racist fucks probably come out of there too, because I don't really have a problem with the people. It's just more of the politics that, or I don't even want to call it politics, because mainly it's just fucking disingenuous human inequality over there, but I digress. So I was reading this about what was going on over there, because you know, if people thought Georgia was the only step that they were fucking with people's voting rights, no, Arizona, Texas, they're moving this in multiple states right now, and they basically told colored people sit down and shut up, if you will. But I don't want to talk about that until I fully read that, so let me just come back to that later. Anyway, though, so damn, so I haven't tried this yet, actually. It's opened. I think I gave some people some pours of it or whatever. Let's crack that bad boy open right there. It's been a while since I've had some Cavalon. Probably since I had that sherry cask from the last episode I did. I don't really talk about it much no more because, I mean, there's no bottles in America. I mean, they don't release anything over here. Even this bottle was released overseas too, so there's not really hype or really nothing to talk about with them as far as just tasting their lovely whiskeys that they made. I mean, honestly, they're kind of slowly not being my favorite distillery anymore. I like them as far as drinking it still, but nothing about it gets me hyped anymore. I don't know if it's because I've collected so many bottles now at this point and tried so many different variations of it. It's definitely not the taste. I still enjoy the taste of it, but it's lacking the excitement for me as far as the product goes. It's funny because Yamazaki is always my favorite whiskey, and yet I still have not lost excitement with pouring that bottle, whether it's 12, 18, or whatever, even the distillery reserve bottle. But I don't know what it is about Cavalon. It's just losing a lot of momentum, maybe. I don't know. Not to say that they even had momentum last year. I mean, I don't know. It could be just that lack of United States releases too. So I mean, that kind of annoys me. So maybe it is that. But let's go ahead and pour some of this right here. Before that, I was drinking while I was talking UFC. I was drinking just regular Cavalon Distillery Select. I had the bottle sitting up here, and it's almost done, so I was just like, yeah, let me go ahead and sip on that some. And it's a solid pour, $50 bottle right there. This one, like I said, ran me about like $130, $140, I can't remember, $90, $40 for shipping. Actually, you know what? It might have been more than that. I'm trying to remember. When did I buy this? Did I buy this before? I try to remember if I bought this before Trump added those fucking tariffs and scotch prices went up. Or was it after? It was a while ago, so I don't really remember. So anyway, though, so on the nose here. Oh, my God, that smells good. Oh, shit. God, that smells so like a floral essence. It's got like this floral heavenly scent to it. Wow, that smells. Oh, my God, that smells really good. Huh. Without even on him sipping on this, on the nose, man, I give this 3.5. God, that smells so good. And it's nice and... I was going to say sunny outside. I'm looking out the window right now. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what the fuck that is. It's like cloudy sunny, I guess. Like, but it looks like it looked like it's the evening right now. And it's pretty early right now. So it looked like it's like damn near 5 o'clock in the evening, but it's not. It's like a, oh man. It's like some perfume scent. You definitely get some cedar in there, but this floral essence that I can't escape. It smells like a Japanese gin or something. Well, I don't want to say it looked like a gin, but like how Japanese gins usually smell. It smells really good. I really like that smell, that scent. It's like honey butter biscuits. God. I poured a lot in this glass, too, actually. I always tend to pour the most on my my Cavalon pours, if you will. Oh, man, I love this nose. It's very sweet. Tropical fruits, obviously. Oh, man. Is that coconut? I can't tell. I'm getting past it. It's something that it's like got this papaya scent to it. A papaya or a pineapple. It's got this reminiscent of like a brandy or rum cask because of how unusually sweet it is. Oh, man. I'll say this too, it's got a lot of character on that nose. A lot of character. Shit, we're talking Cavalon. Let's start sipping some Cavalon. Caramel and honey is the first things that hit my taste buds there, at least on the palate. Finish, medium length. Not too long, not too short. It's there. Yeah, that caramel is sticky. You know another thing, too? It's very warm. Oh, man, it's super warm. Definitely a winter drink, then. It's funny because the characteristics on the nose is completely different. Nose, I'm getting all these like spring essence scents, and on a taste buds, I'm like, oh wow. Definitely get that virgin oak taste because this was, I think this was matured in American oak barrels, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. So, Cavalon single malt from Taiwan matured in combination. Oh, it's a combination of a new American oak, which is virgin oak, and the distillery's refill cask for an exciting expression from this well-regarded Asian whiskey distillery. So, it's got a combination of a refill cask, this distillery's refill cask, and American oak. Oh, that's interesting, unique. It's something different from this distillery, per se, too. This is funny that the podium would be their experimental bottle, if you will. I mean, it probably has like, I don't think really Cavalon in America has that much, at least in my whiskey group based area, per se. And I don't really know any states that do talk about it because you're either a bourbon or a scotch person or whatever. And if you're scotch, you go full on scotch. You don't go really towards the Taiwanese specific area. So I don't really know who's like the big Cavalon heads of whiskey here, but for the podium, which doesn't get that much attention, and their lineup there, shocking that this would be their experimental case. They probably don't like it as much. That's probably why they don't talk about it as much, because I'd be promoting the hell out of this, especially since it's such a cheaper bottle, too, compared to their usually $250 price mark that they always have. I mean, here, we've got a $90 bottle. Which is better than what I was just drinking, than like the Distillery Select. The doorbell is ringing. I guess that means my package is here. So I guess we're doing a package opening on this show as well too. We talking UFC, we talking some bullshit in Arizona, we talking Cavalon or Cavalan. I really still don't even know how you pronounce it, to be honest. You know what this reminds me of, kind of? It's been a while since I've had it, but the Concertmaster. It's kind of on par with that a little bit. I think the Concertmaster is the best out of that cheap core lineup of Cavalan. But I don't know. Got my package here. Oh, that's delicious. So on the notes, I get that biscuit taste. It's more mango-y-ish than it is pineapple or papaya, like I said in the nose there. The finish, like I said, is medium length, but it's also... Let's open this bad boy up. It's medium length, but they super packed this thing up because it's another one of those collector boxes that I love having so much on my whiskey. Little bit of the bourbon, you know. It's medium lengthy, but it's got a lot of spice to it, though. But it doesn't last that long, so that's why I say it's more medium lengthy. Open this bad boy up. Oh, they put their calling card. They always put that letter A on there. I don't know what the fuck that means. So. Oh, shit. They put peanuts in it this time, too. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, time to make a mess. It's funny because my dad had just came over yesterday, and we were talking Buffalo Trace and whatever it may be, because he just drinks whiskey. He doesn't really know anything about it or anything like that. He just drinks it. And I was telling them the different variants of Buffalo Trace when it comes to like Weller, Blanton's, and all that stuff. So I gave him a bottle of Blanton's. I said, here, take this here. Gave him a store pick one too at that. I damn sure wasn't giving him a gold or anything like that. He texted me later. He's like, yo, this is smooth. I was like, yeah, I know. And my dad's done a lot of traveling, too, overseas. And I guess he never paid attention to, like, all the different... I'm about to make a mess here. Fuck it. All these goddamn peanuts. All right. Man, they super packed this in tight. Oh. Get a little bit more sip of this Cavalan real quick. You know the one note that sticks with me the most on this is the spice on the finish and just how warm it is. It's all right. Nothing crazy about it. I'm not that crazy about this right here. I mean, because usually I like Cavalan because of like all these flavors it has. This one's cool. We're at a 46% alcohol level. Alcohol percentage. It's good. It's solid. I was just doing a little bit more reading on it. You know, the thing about it too is it just tastes so young. It tastes like a 4-year-old maybe. I think most Cavalon, they're in between the 4 and 8 year old mark, I believe. Obviously, Cavalon's more non-age statement bottles. I guess I should get back to this package over here. So, if people have been knowing me for 2021, I'm only buying unicorns, baby. Hell, every whiskey week has just been nothing but unicorns, especially this year. I mean, March, I kind of eased it down a little bit because, you know, we were doing the Daft Punk thing, so I didn't want to, like, you know, it wasn't really all about the whiskey on there, but, you know, I had some nice little gems, unicorns on there, but this year I'm just going hard, baby. Just going hard with it. So I've been buying a lot more. I'm just gonna cut this bad boy open. I'm not even fucking doing this wraparound shit. Strength into this, damn it. Come on. Oh, we gotta do some more cutting here. Hey, they tight this shit. This thick. Yeah, see, even after I'm just letting the drink linger a little bit, the main thing that just sticks with me is not even the spice anymore, neither. It's just the heat that it carries. Ooh, I guess they had to super pack this thing and shit. Oh, shit, almost dropped it. Damn, they even wrapped the bottle inside the box. Shout out to them for super wrapping my package. I always love a safe delivery service there. All right. Throw that in there. I guess this is a podcast and audio version, not a video, but you can't see this. So if anybody saw my Instagram, Phenomenal01, not too long ago, they saw that I got a few limited edition Blanton's Gold. Well, I just got another one. So came in that sweet little box edition that they had there. And yeah, here we go. I guess you'll be seeing it on my Instagram if you follow, or you don't even really have to follow. I think you just look, because I leave my page open. I'm not about that close and private shit or anything like that. Yeah, let's see what the dump date on this beautiful thing is. Come on now. Come on, I'm reaching for June 7th. Come on, I just need a June 7th date. Oh, shit, we got a problem. We got leakage. Damn, in the bottle, too. 7, 8, you some bitch. Just almost a month off there. Ooh, yeah, we got a little leakage. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. Well, whatever. Ooh, it smells like straight up whiskey up in this bitch. So, either way, let's wipe that bad boy down. Oh, man, it's tightly sealed, too. Still leakage, though. Hey, but that's a chance you take with these. All right, so let's get back up on this Cavalan now. I'm supposed to be getting another package, too, so. This one was the less uninteresting one because we've already seen that I got it, so. Damn it. I'm just never going to get that June 7th date, am I? Oh, well. So, anyway. Where my glass at? Let me get some of that. Let me sip a little bit of that. Some more of that. I don't think this is as complex as most of their other brands that they have here. I think it's decently fine. Well worth the price that it's for, the $90 price range. But nothing on it sticks out saying, man, I need to get another bottle of this. I think when I kill this bottle, right now I'm low at the label right here, so I'm like, you know where that building is on top of Cavalan, the text here? I'm like right there at that level. I don't think I'll be buying another bottle of this. It's good for what it is. I could probably, I don't even know if I would use this as an everyday pour because it just tastes like a seasonal drink. Like I should be drinking this either around like when it's really cold or something like that, you know? I bet this, though, this part's really good with some sushi or something like that, though. Oh, man. Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it's because of those refill casks, which, on the refill casks, I don't think they're that much active, so. This isn't blowing my mind. I'm not really that crazy about it. It's fine for what it is. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not too psyched or crazy about it or whatever it may be. You get that cinnamon, like I said, on the finish. You get a little bit of dried apples, more so than anything, as far as the fruit goes. Based on the nose, I kind of had high hopes for this. The nose was just fucking spectacular. Oh, man. You know what? Apricots, dried apples. That is Oh, yeah, that's prominent on the nose now. Yeah, I get a little bit more of that. So the nose kind of had me a little excited. Taste, not so much. Not enough characteristics as it was in the nose. That's kind of why I like Cavillon. A lot of characteristics. I don't think the taste on this brings it. The finish is smooth. It's whatever. It's clean. Yeah, I would have to give this like an average score. I think it's just slightly above that a little bit, you know. Nothing too crazy about it or anything like that. So I probably would drop a... Is 2 an average? I'll give it a 2.5 because of the nose. I really like the nose. The price is right, $90. If you get it overseas, you're paying for the shipping, I guess, then you'll probably be paying like $150, which... This definitely ain't worth $150, so you know what? I'll just drop a 2. Yeah, I'll drop a 2. Fuck that. I don't think people should pay $150 for this. Nose is fucking spectacular, phenomenal. Finish, nice, medium, solid and smooth. It's fine. It's got a little spice to it. The palate, I think that's where it just loses me. Not enough characteristics, not enough uniqueness. There's some dried fruit there, some cinnamon. Honey, a little bit sweet, not enough characteristics to make it stand out in this Cavillon line, especially since it's kind of an experimental expression that they have. Nothing too crazy about, though. So, yeah, I'll just drop a 2 on that or whatever. So, I'm going to go clean this bottle up, the one that's leaking here, the Blanton's Gold. Actually, it's not even leaking anymore. Well, clean whatever is just left on it, per se. And that's it, people. So next month, here's what's going down, or next week per se. It's tequila month. Me and Cody are doing tequila. We're doing that because we're arranging our expressions a little bit, you know. Hell, these talking Cavillons might be just talking whiskey. I might just be doing whiskey solo shows or something like that because me and Cody, we just talking about all kinds of stuff. Cody is just deep into the mezcal right now. I don't know if you people are watching his Instagram right now. I always forget the name of the brand, but there's like a whole lineup. He's got 2 of those bottles there. I think he's trying to collect them all like a Pokemon Master and shit like that. He's trying to get that whole lineup right there. He's getting deep in that. I'm getting more involved with this Armagnac, and I got some tequila too. You know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking I'm going out and buying more tequila. I was like, I got a lot of tequila actually, more than I thought I did. So I might not have to buy as much, to be honest. I do need to drink some of that tequila too. So I do want to do a margarita though. Yeah, we probably will do that on tequila month because I haven't still got the weeks laid out because that's a 5-week month right there and I only got 3 weeks laid out. So probably we'll do margarita for the initial bar review thing or whatever, if you will. Tequila cocktails per se. So, but here's how it's going down. So next week, think of it as whiskey week. It'll just be, well, Cody will be here, but it'll be me and Cody, but it'll just be me talking about whatever tequila I got, which will mainly be like a Añejo or agave or something like that. Cody, next week, that's beer week. Beer week gets switched into mezcal week. Cody's handling that. Cody got some mezcal he wants to talk about. The next one will be mix and match week, both me and Cody. I think he'll be doing mezcal again, and I'll be doing an agave or Añejo tequila. And then after that, we got 2 more weeks, which are usually the extra weeks in the month there. Well, usually it's talking Cavillon, but not going to do Cavillon. And then we got an extra week after that. So probably I'm thinking we're going to do some cocktails with tequila. I'm going to do some margaritas the week after. And then the week after that, we're just going to... I forgot. I had it written down. I got to go check the whiteboard. Anyway, though, so people, that's what's going down. So stay tuned in for next week with me, yours truly, the Godfather. I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to say... yours truly, the host of this show, JB, and I'm going to be talking about my little special bottle I posted on Instagram there. Only a certain amount of bottles was made on this. It's very beautiful. I can't wait to open that bad boy. I'm ready to sip it. You're going to get my first impressions of it here on this show, The Last Drop, Tequila Month. So, and then after that, you're going to get then the week later, you're going to get some mezcal notes from the Codicius himself. And that thing is leaking now, so now I need to really go clean that. So we need to wrap this up. Anyway, people, I am your Godfather of Whiskey. I am JB, and this is the JB Show talking Cavillon. That didn't sound right. Whatever. Anyway, so like we always say, hey, 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 Actually, you know, I don't even want to say that because I don't want you to drink Cavalon every day. I want you to drink a little bit of everything. Open your palate up. Open your mind. Anything that's rare, just drink that shit, please. Pour a little bit of it. If it's gin, pour that. If you got some whiskey, pour that. Some beer, limited edition, pour that. Ooh, it tastes so good, doesn't it? Armagnac, ooh, pour that. Cognac, brandy, whatever it may be, just drink it. So as I would normally say, livers will never be the same and glasses will never be dry. This glass is pretty dry, so it's time for a refill.